Hey yo, you're listening to The Drive Home. We'll be right back. And we're back at you with The Drive Home. Oh man, I got a lot on my mind today. I got Siri Radio, the FM station, whatever it is, satellite. And I'm listening to Channel 128. I've never listened to Joel Osteen before, but this is my first time. Now, I've always thrown Joel Osteen under the bus because it's easy to do, right? Because of things you hear other people say about him, if you're, you know, faith-based. But I've never listened to him really in full. And so, now, after listening to him, I have my own observations. First off, he is a master at drawing in a crowd. No doubt about it. He's able to bring you in. You feel like he's just talking to you. He's in a stadium with thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but you feel like when you're listening to him that he's just talking to you. And you is a really, really important concept in Joel Osteen's repertoire. It is where he hangs his hat. It's all about you. It's all about you. And so, another thing that he's really good at is he's good at telling a story. And he uses humor. Some of it is corny, but that's just, you know, comes with probably whatever, you know, he's trying to reach a mass audience, and so the humor's got to be simple, and it's got to connect something like, but at the same time, he uses humor to disarm his audience. Humor's always been used in that matter, and that's how he uses it, and he uses it well. So he knows how to draw a crowd in. He speaks as if he's speaking just to you, so it feels very personal and intimate. And he uses humor to lighten the mood. Now, another thing that he does well is he does a lot of talking. He does a lot of talking, and he is engaging in the mind or the soul. He's filling that part of us, or at least making attempts to fill that part of us that we look at the world to kind of, you know, fill us up with. And so the concept in this particular sermon was all about you. And it is. It was all about you and everything he said. And he didn't use a lot of scripture. Like, he probably used 98% of his words. And I would even probably say less than that. I'd say 99.5% were his words and 0.5% was scripture. If that. I don't even know if I would even say 0.5% was scripture. And so you got somebody who's using basically a technique of building up the audience. And I was listening to him, and I'm telling you what, I started feeling like I was going to throw up in my mouth. I was like, I was so tired of him telling me about me and that you are highly favored. You are the head and not the tail. You are the, like, all of the over and over and over and over again, as if it was like brainwashing. As if that repeated cycle of patterns of words and phrases were meant to be brainwashing. Now, what's kind of troublesome is that in the beginning, he actually has the people hold up their Bible and repeat this phrase, this is my Bible, I am what it says I am, I, you know, all that. But yet he barely references the Bible or scriptures at all in his sermon. So he goes on and on about the Bible. And I can only imagine this Bible just sits in people's laps, but they feel good about it because they have a Bible. They're participating, right? So he's creating that sense of belonging. I connect with this person, and now I'm a part of this thing. And he's telling me really great things about myself. Why the hell would I not want to participate in what this person is doing? When they're telling me amazing things, how amazing I am, how much God loves me, and I just did this thing with my Bible. You know, I had an old, my first pastor after I gave my life to the Lord and started following him, his name is Michael McAvoy, and he also did a whole thing with the Bible, and he would hold it up, and he, you know, and you would say the thing that goes along, this is a double-edged sword, it's, you know, whatever, all this stuff, and then he would open up the Bible, and then he would read the scriptures, and then he would, what's called expository, or completely just explode the scriptures apart and break them down almost word by word, verse by verse. And he would spend like 3 months on one chapter, breaking it down over and deeper and dissecting it and everything else. And I can understand holding the Bible up and repeating the phrase, and this is a double-edged sword, and blah, 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 and all that. I have to reach out to him and get that phrase that he said, because it was cool, and I mean, it was one of the first things I was saying when I got saved, so. But here's Joel Osteen, got them doing that with the book, with the Bible, and I really just call it a book. I don't even know if I want to call it the Bible in this situation, because I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, more you're basically repeating, you know, if you're a part of that environment, you're repeating more of Joel Osteen's words than you are the Word of God. You're repeating more. You might as well hold up a Joel Osteen book and swear those things instead of the Bible, because all you're doing is just repeating the words of Joel Osteen and not the words of God. So now I'm starting. I just got out of work. And so it's still on the Joel Osteen channel. And so, first thing he starts is he's talking about spending time in the presence of God. I'm all about that. I get that. He's talking about distractions and all these things and that the enemy doesn't want you to spend time with God. I get that. I understand that. And then he's talking about what happens is when you go and you get with God. And he said one thing that was just off. And he said about, you know, people go into God and they just kind of complain and they kind of complain. And he said, you know, if my kids come to me and they just complain and complain, like, I don't want to hear nothing from them. I just send them away. And that he said I believe that that's how God is. And I'm here to tell you that is not how God is. And I can back it up with scripture. If you go to the book of Psalms, and you read the book of Psalms, like Psalms 22, and you read about how the person in that felt like God had left them and that they had been abandoned and they did all those things. And you could say that that person was complaining. But it's in the Word of God. So therefore, the Bible says that in the book of John, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the Word is also referenced as the Word is perfect. Your Word is perfect. And so if the Word is perfect, right? The Word is a double-edged sword, able to divide between bone and marrow. The Word is a diviner of truth. Then the Word is perfect. So therefore, if the Bible in the book of Psalms, a person is complaining to God about their situation, and it's part of the Bible, then that means that that part of that Bible, the experience that that person is experiencing, is just as valid simply because it is the Word of God. So God is okay if you come to Him and you're complaining. He doesn't care as long as you're going to Him and you're not going to the world to meet your needs. You know, if you're going to the world and you're not going to Jesus, then he knows that eventually you're going to wind up being disappointed, or worse, you're going to wind up being hurt by the world and what the world has to offer, because the world is self-centered and destructive in by its nature. So it's okay if you go to God and you're complaining. Now, eventually, going to God is going to change you, and you're going to become more like Him the more time you spend in His presence, the more time you spend with Him, the more He's going to show you His heart, and the more He shows you His heart, the more you're going to be transformed by His heart. And you're going to be transformed. And you're going to be like the leper when 10 of them were healed and one of them turned around and came back and gave thanks. And Jesus said, "Weren't you all healed?" And he was like, "Yep." But he's the one that came back and gave thanks. There's a point when you're going to give thanks. You're going to realize, you know, something good is happening in my life and I need to show the appreciation for it. But don't think that you can't go to God and complain about your crap. Yes, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but when I'm wearied and heavy laden, I'm not in a great mood. I am complaining. I'm not happy. I'm grumpy. I'm pissed off, right? I'm not in a great place. But he says, come to me when you're not in a great place. Come to me when you're pissed off. Come to me when you're angry. Come to me when you're complaining. It's okay. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this idea that Joel Osteen has about coming to God, and but he doesn't want people that are complaining, that's bullshit. Okay? It's not true. It's a lie. And it, what it does is it sends this message about being perfect, basically. And I know Jesus says, be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. But what did he mean by that? Then Joel Osteen says that if you're reading the Bible and you come across something you don't understand, don't get caught up on that. Just move on. No, don't just move on. Dig deeper. Be like the Bereans. The Bereans in the Bible, they didn't just take things on face value. They dug deeper. Michael McAvoy, my old pastor, he didn't take things on face value. He didn't want you to just hear what he had to say and then regurgitate that on the street corner. He wanted you to understand it as best as you possibly could. Break it down. There's a thing called the Strong's Concordance. And it takes the original written of the Bible, like the Dead Sea Scrolls that were written in Hebrew. And it breaks it down word by word what those words actually mean in the Hebrew, because the Hebrew language is very complex. Like the word love has more than one meaning. There's friendly love. There's romantic love. There's the love of a parent. There's more than one meaning to just the one word. That's just one example. So no, don't just say, oh, well, that's just too much, too difficult. No, nothing is too hard for you to understand. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will help you to understand the things of God. So, two things already that I heard from Joel Osteen that do not line up with the Word of God. So, this person is representing Christendom and presenting two ideas that are humanist in nature, which means that the human is the highest of the self. Now, he could say God, he could say spending time in the presence of God and all of those things, but the whole point of it is to make you better. It's to improve you. And history is full of men and women of God who were flawed beings. And yet God used them for His glory. So what happens when you're that flawed being? Where do you go, right? What would Joel Osteen say? Well, he's not going to tell you what God says. Not in its entirety. I literally heard him say in the book of Ephesians, it says the Lord says that you're blessed. What the hell? That's it? That's what the book of Ephesians says? You're going to tell me that the book of Ephesians says that. The Lord has blessed you. That's what he pulled out of the book of Ephesians. One of the most, like, intricate, high-level, holy crap, don't understand, books in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, and this guy pulls out, "The Lord has blessed you." That's it. Why? Because people want to hear that. They want to hear that they're a blessing. They want to hear that everything they do is blessed. They want to hear that everything they say is blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. Meanwhile, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters is what Jesus did for you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. That when we lift up Jesus, that he will draw all men to him. When we lift up Jesus, we humble ourselves, God said, and he will draw all men to him. It's Jesus. It's not you. You're not the savior of the world. You're not the savior of your workplace. You're not the savior of your household. You're not the savior of your kids or your husband or wife. None of us can save the day. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. The book of Ephesians, according to Joel Osteen, says the Lord has blessed you. That's what the book of Ephesians says. The Lord has blessed you. That's what he gets out of the book of Ephesians. The Lord has blessed you. Says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. So why didn't Joel Osteen say that? Holy crap. He literally just said, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. Hold on. Wait a minute. Did you hear that? Did he say every earthly blessing? Did he say every physical blessing in the earthly world? Did he say in Christ God has given us every physical blessing in the earthly world? Did he say that? No, he did not. He said the Lord has blessed you, and then he added all of this stuff to it. God wants you to have a nice house. God wants you to have nice cars. God wants you to have a promotion. God wants you to have this. God wants you to have that. The scripture, the same thing, the book that he held up in the beginning, that this is the Bible and I am who it says I am, right? That one. The scripture says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world. And then if you want to get knee deep into it, oh man, the book of Ephesians is thick. Is thick. And not for the faint of heart. That is, in Christ, he chose us before the world was made so that we would be his holy people, people without blame before him. Now that's the part where Joel Osteen would say, now if you don't understand that, just go ahead and just keep going. Because of his love, God had already decided to make us his own children through Jesus Christ. That was what he wanted and what pleased him. And it brings praise to God because of his wonderful grace. God gave that grace to us freely in Christ, the one he loves. In Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death, and so we have forgiveness of sins. Do you understand any of that? No, I don't. I don't understand that either. But that, does that mean that I can't spend time in His Word? Does that mean that the Holy Spirit won't bring the things that I need to know and help me understand? Yes, God will help you understand. God will bring the things that you are asking Him to help you understand. It's a relationship. It's a back and forth. It's messy. But it's beautiful at the same time.
$100 million to renovate. We decided to sell the station. We sold it for a significant profit. Those funds were instrumental in us renovating this facility. But it all started with the tax issue. I couldn't see it at the time. I thought it was a bad break. I realize now it was all serving His plan. If I hadn't have had the tax problem, I would have never met my attorney friend. Without the attorney, I would have never pursued the station. Without the station, we may not have had the funds to renovate this place. I wonder if you're upset over something that's serving His plan. A door that closed, a person that walked away, a delay that's taken longer than you thought. It doesn't make sense. Stay in peace. It's all a part of the plan. It looks like it's hindering you. Really, it's helping you. It feels like it's setting you back, but really, it's setting you up for something you've never seen. God knows what you're going to need in the future. I never dreamed I would be a pastor. Never dreamed one day we would own the Compact Center, but God knew. And that tax problem that was somebody else's fault, that looked like a bad break, the truth is that was God ordering my steps into something that was unfair. And if you don't understand that everything serves His plan, you'll get discouraged, bitter, give up on dreams. This is what keeps many people from seeing what God was up to behind the scenes. The reason Joseph saw it all come together is he kept doing the right thing when the wrong thing was happening. He kept being good to people that weren't being good to him.
And that's what he'll do. He'll take one little part of the scripture, that part about Joseph. If you're not familiar with Joseph, Joseph was basically... he was favored by his father, right? And all of his brothers who wind up the 12, tribes of Israel. So he had all these brothers, but he was favored because he was considered to be the seed of the promise from Isaac. And so his father, who of course was a son of Abraham, and so Joseph wound up being betrayed by his brothers, and he was left for dead and wound up becoming a slave. And while he was a slave in Egypt, he just basically served the Lord and did what the Lord wanted him to do and stayed true to the Lord. And the Lord blessed him and put him in a position where he was able to make decisions not only for himself, but for all the people around him and the Hebrew people, and basically was part of the deliverance of the Hebrew people during a great famine. Of course, once they wound up in Egypt, later on they wound up going into slavery, but. The point that he's saying is that Joseph basically did the right things when everybody else was doing the wrong thing. And even though they were doing the wrong things to him, he still did the right thing, right? So he just kind of like strips the scripture and puts this nice little hallmark, phrase together. And people go, yeah, I'm Joseph, right? Because that's that heroism thing. It's every time... in the books of the Bible and all the stories of the Bible, it creates this humanist approach to scripture that when you read the Bible, you always put yourself in the position of the person who's doing the right thing. You always see yourself as the hero of the story. instead of recognizing that this is an historical account of a real person in history who lived a real life and made the decisions that they made, and you're not that person. You're you. And we are not the heroes of the story. Now, we might have moments and times when God uses us in pretty, like, amazing ways and everything else. But as soon as you start thinking that, you know, I am that guy, I am that woman, I am the one, it's not going to be pretty. Because God doesn't want you to be there, just like in the Tower of Babel. They were erecting the tower, saying that we didn't need God because we were our own. We have reached a point where we have ascended above, and we can have a conversation with God because we are equal to Him. And when that starts happening, things are going to start falling, and it can get pretty ugly. So there's this message that's being sent through Joel Osteen. That whole time he talked this whole thing, and you didn't hear one scripture. Not one scripture from the Bible. So can you even call what that is a church? Can you call it a fellowship? Can you have fellowship without the scriptures? I'm not here to answer that question. I don't really know. But I can tell you that I don't listen to Joel Osteen and feel that I'm spending time with the Lord. I feel like I'm spending time with the man who's taken ideas of God and wrapped them up in a nice little pretty package to try to make me feel good about myself and that everything is going to improve because I am a quote-unquote Christian. And there's no mention of the cross. There's no mention of the reality of sin and the effects on this world. There's no mention of the real meat and potatoes of living a life where you were falling after God, when there's no fruit on the vine, when there's no fig on the tree, there's no wine in the presses, when real life is happening. It doesn't get answered with a phrase from a Hallmark card. So, I feel that what he's selling is vanity, and I'm not buying. So that's my take on Joel Osteen today. I hope you listen in. I appreciate the listeners, the ones that are taking the time to listen. I appreciate you. Just know that it's all right if you don't have it together. It's all right if you don't understand it. It's all right if you're going through something. Don't think because you're going through something that God has left you or abandoned you or waiting for you to get it together so that He can get back with you. No. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. In fact, He carved you into His body. You are forever on His mind. You are forever in His thoughts. And God does have a purpose and a plan for your life. And no, it's not pretty. It's going to be messy because that's life. He said, you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Right? He said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So I hope that you know Him, and if you don't, I hope that you're learning about who He really is through my podcast, and I appreciate you listening. And as always, I hope you know where you're going on the drive home.